You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you said what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Ode Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to WWE, TNA, and everything else making the news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we will discuss CM Punk, the big changes to TNA's pay-per-views, El Generico, New Japan, and much, much more. My name is Alex, and today I'm joined by a special co-host. David is unable to join us this week. We are joined by Mike Valentine. How are you doing this week, Mike?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for having me.
Now, from what I understand, you have a show that's featured here at OWW or Online World of Wrestling. Can you tell us a little bit about your show?
Yes, it's actually called Inside the Squared Circle. You'll see it usually pop up on OWW about once a week. It's a we like to call it the counter-revolutionary force in professional wrestling. We deal with all of the news and topics that come out, and what makes us special is we actually listen and pay attention to our fan base. If you have a question, if you want to say your comments, your whatever, you can totally get on there. You can give us a call. You can send us an email. We'll read everything that you guys say on there.
Now, this is a local show that's been in the Maryland region for how long, Mike?
We are about to hit 25 years this summer.
25 years, and now it's entering into the digital age, and you can catch the program. Where can they see it live, Mike, and join in the show, like you said?
If they want to watch it live, it would have to be online at mymcmedia.org. It comes up Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But you can always watch any of the episodes on OWW, and you can go ahead and send us an email, and we can go ahead and interact that way.
All right, Mike, we're going to go ahead and ring the bell, and we're going to get the show started. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, that's great.
World Wrestling Entertainment. CM Punk had his first interaction with The Rock, and it made official their match for the Royal Rumble. What are your thoughts on this segment, Mike?
I thought the segment was done brilliantly with CM Punk coming out and cutting his promo. I know a lot of people had a problem with him being interrupted and going to commercial break, but it was obviously designed to make it look more of what he's talking about is accurate, the lack of respect that he has. The Rock coming out doing his whole stick, and then Punk calling him out on everything, to me pretty much showed how much superior Punk is when it comes to a verbal battle, especially with his quote, "Your arms are just too short to box with God."
You know, what's interesting is that I thought CM Punk more than held his own, and his speaking ability kind of made up for the fact that Rock looks like a large athlete that whoops some ass, as to where CM Punk doesn't really have that going for him, but verbally he made up for that.
Yeah, no, I thought it was one of the more impressive segments I've seen on Raw in quite some time, actually.
It almost kind of makes you sad, I guess, that someone the caliber of The Rock isn't full-time there. Even though when The Rock does come in, he kind of has to do his stick. But someone with the talent level of Rock, wouldn't you like to see multiple matches out of this feud?
I wouldn't mind seeing a couple of matches out of him, but I don't think I would want to see him as a full-time player like he used to be back in the day. I think his time has actually come and gone, and him coming in and out sporadically, it's not so terribly such a bad thing. I mean, puts more eyes onto the product and, again, get people used to new people like CM Punk. If Rock were to hang around, I think it just wouldn't be helping out as much as people think it would with younger talent.
Okay, so you're saying that because you don't think that he'd be in the way of a lot of younger talent moving up, or what are your thoughts on The Rock?
I think his presence alone would just kind of hinder younger talent. Not saying that he would hold anyone down, but I could understand if, let's say, they start pushing CM Punk and in the first 2 months of his title reign, Vince gets scared because he's not drawing. They give it right back to The Rock without giving Punk a chance.
Yeah, but I think that some of the newer fans, and you know, I agree with you, but I'll say this as well, is that I think some of the newer fans, they only know The Rock as the shtick guy who comes in and says his lines and has a match, and The Rock was one of the most incredible performers of the last 20 years.
Yeah, he was the whole package. I wouldn't say he was one of the best technical wrestlers ever. It'll be a far stretch, but he was very entertaining to watch in the ring. I feel that he still sort of is. I didn't think he did as well as he could have in Cena's match last rest of the year's WrestleMania, but I mean, who's to say that he hasn't got himself back into more shape, you know, cardio-wise, I should say, because we see how big he is. He physically looks dominant, but if he can't go more than 10 minutes, then it just doesn't really look too good. But hopefully within a year, he's been able to get himself back into good ring shape.
El Generico has a verbal deal with World Wrestling Entertainment, and essentially if he passes all of his physical tests, he'll be a World Wrestling Entertainment superstar who will spend time in the developmental system. What do you think of this signing?
I think it's interesting. I always felt that Generico was kind of a character that would work perfectly with the WWE PG model that they have. The only problem is that I can see how a lot of people would not understand the humor that is El Generico. And instead of seeing it funny and interesting, they may see it as racist.
You know, my wife feels that way about him, that it comes across as racist. I'll say this. I find it very polarizing, and much in the same way that I felt that Sarah Del Rey being hired as a trainer was very polarizing. I get bashed for having an opinion on this because El Generico was such a good wrestler that people like the guy, you know, and that's good. You should have that. I mean, he's successful everywhere. But honestly, I mean, as a pro wrestling fan that's followed the business for a long time, you see what World Wrestling Entertainment is looking for, and it's kind of hard, I guess, to train yourself that, no, they're looking for something else, when as recently as a few years ago, they had Low-Ki, and they treated Low-Ki like a joke. They treated Daniel Bryan like a joke. They didn't trust CM Punk initially, and Vince McMahon asked them if he could wrestle as a heel. You know, they're not familiar with Generico, and Dave Meltzer reported that, or Brian Alvarez reported on Wrestling Observer that potentially in Florida he'll have his mask taken away. He'll be given, I assume, a generic name. Oh, Generico's an incredible talent, but he's not generally a talent that they look for. And that El Generico gimmick, I mean, that was a jokey gimmick. I don't think a wrestler would employ if he was trying to get into WWE, because it seems like the higher brass would and see him as a joke. I know I talked for a while, Mike, but what are your thoughts on, I guess, anything I said?
Yeah, I can agree with you on all of that stuff, but as we've noticed, especially with Seth Rollins being called up, Dean Ambrose being called up, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan being at the level that they are right now, it seems like it's more, I would assume it's Triple H than Vince McMahon at this point, probably realizing that maybe the independents isn't full of a bunch of people that they don't want. Everyone they're pulling up from the independents is doing a lot better than anybody who only worked in the WWE farm territory, and I think they're starting to realize that. I think that's how come El Generico caught their attention, because right now there really isn't many big names on the independents the way there were about, what, 5-6 years ago. El Generico is one of the last big names that you can probably try to snatch up. I think they're probably just kind of testing the waters. I think they want to keep seeing if this test still works out by having independent wrestlers who travel the world, if they're still able to get the crowds behind them. And I think El Generico is going to be part of that test.
I've seen El Generico wrestle live maybe about 50 times, if not more. I've seen him multiple times. Incredible wrestler. But I'll say this, not about him. Again, it's like you have to preface everything because, you know, it's good that everyone loves him, but, I mean, people take this stuff so personal. But I don't want to see a complete wave, I guess, of everyone getting signed from indies. As much as I want these independent guys to make money, Mike, I certainly do, but the independents do need to get stocked back up because TNA and WWE has severely depleted the independent wrestling scene with veteran talent and with new talent because, you know, veterans, back in the day, veterans would go back into the independent scene and that's how the new guys would get trained. And now you have younger guys training younger guys. And then secondly, The Rock wouldn't have necessarily, I mean, The Rock had a wrestling background, so I guess it's not fair to say, but I don't think WWE should completely go away from signing just athletes. And I don't think they will, but generally athletes don't go into independent wrestling, and you're going to find those guys who are, you know, fallouts from football or fallouts from amateur wrestling, and hopefully they stay signing athletes because, you know, a good mix is what you need. World Wrestling Entertainment may be going all the way with Alberto Del Rio as a top Latin babyface. What do you think his chances are of having the same success as Rey Mysterio Jr.?
I think it probably won't be at Rey Mysterio Jr. level, but it may be closer or more akin to Eddie Guerrero kind of levels. I think Rey Mysterio was more designed, especially with his mask and everything, for children and to push merchandise, and Guerrero was more designed to try to get the loyal fan base. I do remember when he was champion, it was when SmackDown was seeing the highest rated Hispanic demographic watching the show. And Vince always tried to figure out how to get that demographic after he wound up pulling the title off of Eddie Guerrero. I don't know why it would take him this long to realize that trying to maybe make another Hispanic wrestler as your champion and as a credible champion is probably the way to go. I'm not too sure how much money there is in him, but when it comes to demographics and getting that key demographic that they want, I think it will be successful.
I didn't think it was fair to compare Alberto to Rey, and then maybe not fair to compare him to Eddie, because those two guys were some of the biggest superstars ever. But when you think of Latin superstars in World Wrestling Entertainment, there's not many to think of. I mean, World Wrestling Federation, Worldwide Wrestling Federation had some, but World Wrestling Entertainment specifically, not that many Latin superstars you can really think of that are pushed to that level. You know, I almost don't see it in Alberto as much. I mean, he kind of has that smug look to him, but there was a time when Eddie was completely uncharismatic, completely just known as a good technical wrestler, and then he ended up being one of the more charismatic wrestlers the company's had. Like you said, I mean, he was leading the SmackDown brand, and unfortunately, it really affected him. You know, a lot of the pressure got to him, and then obviously he was suffering from health problems. Do you potentially see Alberto growing into this role more, or is he kind of is what he is?
I could see him growing a little bit into it. I know Del Rio, you can tell when he's motivated and when he's not motivated. He puts on some of his best work when he knows that he's getting a push and that the company's behind him, and he kind of just is very lackluster when he realizes that he's just treading water. So I think to him knowing that the company's behind him now, I think he's going to be putting it full force, and hopefully we can see how well he can do.
TNA Wrestling. TNA is cutting down to 4 live pay-per-views a year, and the rest they're going to air as taped events, which they've already cut down 2 of those, so we're only going to see 10 this year. What do you think about this drastic change in pay-per-view?
I liked it when they advertised the headline of TNA going down to 4 pay-per-views, and I hated it when I found out the rest were going to be taped. I don't understand how a company who has been desperately trying to bring in an audience and finally was able to get live television tapings decides that the best idea is to do taped pay-per-views. It just seems like a very backwards kind of mentality, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with cost effectiveness of actually running live versus running taped. It's just that this is not the direction that I think they should be going. I think they should have just done what everyone says that WWE and TNA should do, just cut down on the pay-per-views altogether. When they announced it as 4 pay-per-views, I was happy, and that's the way it should have stayed, and they never should have just added in the taped pay-per-views after that.
Now, I got this news story from the Wrestling Observer, and the Wrestling Observer says that they're doing the taped pay-per-views to fulfill contractual obligations that they prior have with the pay-per-view companies. I kind of had the same feeling you had. Interesting. They're going down to 4, but then the taped pay-per-views. You know, the taped pay-per-views, they're not going to do so well anyways. I mean, generally, TNA pay-per-views are honestly not bought by very many people, just period, as a fact. And especially the ones that will be the new tape pay-per-views, those generally aren't bought by a large audience at all. They're keeping live Bound for Glory, Slammiversary, Lockdown, and there was one more, Genesis, Lockdown, Slammiversary, and Bound for Glory. So those are, you know, generally the higher-rated events. Definitely I know Bound for Glory on R. So, you know, they can save some money here, but it looks like if pay-per-views are going to have a different feeling to them, and it could make those a little bit more interesting. Do you think maybe in sacrificing the other 10 that or the other 8, other 6, I guess it would be, do you think it'll raise the profile of the Big 4?
I'm hoping so. They hopefully, when they know that it's live for only four times a year, they actually put on their A game and make it phenomenal. Because I know one big thing is just going to be, like you were saying, those pay-per-views, their taper is not going to do well. I mean, it's proven that if you get the results, nobody watches your show on television for free. I don't understand how somebody who gets the results is going to say, I'll show out any kind of money for pay-per-view when they already know the outcome. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Also, the other thing that didn't make any sense to me once they had made the announcement was the whole Destination X, the X Division champion can cash in their title for a world title at the Destination X pay-per-view. And now the Destination X pay-per-view has been eliminated. Are we going to see that as a recurring taped pay-per-view now, or what?
Jay Bradley faced Brian Cage tonight in a gut check match. What do you think of matching up two guys that are new in TNA as a gut check match, vice what they were doing before, which is matching up a TNA regular against a new guy?
I honestly don't really have too much of a problem with it, especially if two new guys, according to TNA, are familiar with each other on the independents and they worked with each other and they can flow. I think it'll actually look a lot better on television, and they can both make each other look pretty good as opposed to being thrown into the ring with somebody that they are just not familiar with or maybe not even too comfortable with.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. If this was a plant, now Jay Bradley and Brian Cage, I'm not sure their familiarity together. I know both guys have visited World Wrestling Entertainment Developmental multiple times, both being signed roster members. Yes, if you can find two guys on the independent scene that you're interested in, they can go in there and have a match together. That's a good idea. But if you're just going to pair up this guy from Georgia against this guy from Maine, go out there and have a match, it could be a bad idea. But also, it kind of adds a little bit of variety to it. But one thing that I would definitely never do again is if I did have a new gut check guy face a TNA guy, I would make sure the TNA guy, was good at making the other guy look good. I wouldn't have Austin Aries for this role. I would rather have a Doug Williams or an Eric Young or something like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. But the TNA guy would definitely have to have everything in his arsenal to make his opponent look great.
Absolutely, because, I mean, that's one of the more important things. TNA is at an advanced, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment, it would be very difficult for them to do this concept. The one advantage World Wrestling Entertainment has is that when you introduce a new character and you put them over strong, like they've recently done with The Shield, they can be made into instant superstars because Raw is the big stage. But TNA has the ability to get that good crowd reaction when a new guy comes in that you just couldn't really get in World Wrestling Entertainment if you brought him out there cold.
Yeah, this is true. I think it may also have a lot to do with the fact that when it comes to TNA, people who generally watch TNA generally also watch the independents. TNA and the independents are really close to each other aside from the television deals that they have. So more likely than not, if someone does watch TNA, they're well aware of who's about to just do a random run-in with no kind of build-up. When as opposed to WWE, there's multiple occasions where the person only watches Raw and doesn't even really know about any other wrestling out there. So if The Shield just randomly came in without any kind of instigation or anything, it would have flopped completely.
Have you ever been to a TNA house show?
Yes, I have.
I don't know what those people watch. At a pay-per-view, I agree with you, is you and I went to Bound for Glory 2 years ago, the one in Philadelphia. TNA house shows, I don't know what those people watch. TNA Genesis will be a very interesting show. I don't know if you're aware, but there's a loaded European pay-per-view being taped on Friday night and a live Impact on Thursday. Do you think that the Impact Zone fans will kind of be burned out and give less reactions to Genesis?
They may, and that's what the whole problem is with running in the same location over and over and over again. You're always going to have the opportunity of burning out the audience. Now, when it comes to Impact, their show and everything, the pay-per-views and all that they do in the Impact Zone, the thing that they have going for and against them is the fact that it's on the Universal lot. So it would have to be a hard, die-hard fan to show up for all three of those successfully because, I mean, the tapings are free. You just have to pay to get into the Universal lot to actually try to get in there. So for somebody to willfully go to all three of them, hopefully they'll actually want to be there and hopefully not be completely burned out by the end of it.
Have you seen the lineup for this European pay-per-view?
I have not, actually.
I don't have it in front of me, but I know, for example, Rob Van Dam is facing Jerry Lynn in an X Division match. It's a loaded show with a lot of gimmick matches, so it'll be interesting to see the Genesis reaction, because it's this TNA European pay-per-view, which is they're doing for contractual obligation, and I don't think it's airing for a few months, but it is chock full of just gimmick match after interesting match and gimmick match. I think they're doing a Joker Smile tag tournament or something or the other. It'll be interesting. Do you know how much it costs to get into to see the show? You said it's free to attend, but how much does it cost to get into the actual park?
The actual park, I believe, may be about $50. I think that's how much it was when I went a few years back. But I wouldn't be surprised if between now and then the park prices have gone up. And that's not counting parking if you decide to go into the parking lot as opposed to public transportation. So you're looking at kind of expensive tickets, technically, if that's all you're going to wind up doing. But if you plan on making a day of it and, you know, spending time at the park and then getting to TNA to watch it, it's actually not a bad deal.
I didn't know it was that expensive. I commend all the Impact fans who used to go during the crappy era of TNA. Wow, that's mighty expensive. Wild card topic number one. What are your thoughts on New Japan Pro Wrestling iPaper? The last one, which is the January 4th Tokyo Dome show, has been a great pay-per-view with numerous matches that may be considered match of the year. Would you consider ordering an iPay-per-view yourself?
Actually, I would. I enjoy ordering the iPay-per-views. I think it's an ingenious idea, actually, of how to get your card and your wrestling promotion and everything out there. I mean, there's a lot of wrestling to actually watch around the world, and the fact that all of it is just so secluded and you have to go out and try to find the DVDs, you have to try to find places that can sell them. It always usually gets pretty hard, but the fact that they have now have this whole iPay-per-view thing going on, I think it's just a great idea of trying to expand it and trying to get people more interested in other wrestling promotions, and I definitely plan on getting the next New Japan iPay-per-view when it comes around.
It's all about content delivery, you know, and it makes it a lot easier to deliver your product to the fans. I mean, for example, you and I both do pro wrestling talk shows, and, you know, your show, 20 years you said it was coming on? 25 years. I mean, how long was the show only available to those fans in your local market?
Probably about 23 of those years.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, with technology, we all have the ability to get content out to people who may be interested. And New Japan, this is wildly successful in Japan, by the way. iPay-per-view is a lot more doable for the Japanese people because cable hasn't really taken over there. They're used to, from what I understand, getting the big events on their standard television, their free television. So cable hasn't really taken off. So this iPay-per-view, that's the way internet has. Internet is very big in Japan. So these iPay-per-views are doing huge numbers. I believe Dave Meltzer reported 100,000 buys. That's off the top of my head. Big pay-per-view buys in Japan. And they do, you know, 1,000 or so here in America. You know, there is a fan base, I guess, here for Japanese wrestling, specifically New Japan. I think it's a good move. Wild card topic number two. The test results are in on NFL legend Junior Seau's brain. It came back and he suffered from CTE. What do you think about pro wrestling's response to the concussion issue as men?
As a whole, for the entire wrestling community, I feel that they've been paying more attention to it and keeping a good eye on it. Once in a while, you'll see some dangerous spots here and there, but like, you know, WWE with the whole no more chair shots to the head or blatant shots to the head, I think it's a great idea. I mean, you don't mess around with something like that. And with a sport that's choreographed, you don't have to take unnecessary risks to your body that would mean, you know, causing danger to you or to anyone else around you later on in life. Well, it's unfortunate, obviously, with things like football. It's just part of what happens. Just because of the nature of the sport, you're going to get your concussions. You're going to get hurt pretty bad like that. And I don't know of any way of the NFL to actually say, you know, we're going to start cutting down on it, because, I mean, you have to have those hits.
you know, World Wrestling Entertainment, you know, I mean, they've done so much in this regard to concussions. You know, the matches are wrestled in a completely different style, and none of the quality has taken effect. TNA, I can't, you know, I mean, I can't, there probably has been, but I can't really think off the top of my head too many shots to the head. And I know someone listening is probably like, oh, what about this? And sorry, just at this time, I don't remember it. Ring of Honor recently, Nigel McGuinness has done interviews where he's saying that he would like to do some of the same things in Ring of Honor, where guys would hit each other less in the head, and he's really conscious about blood as well. Recently, I ordered, speak of iPay-per-views, the CZW iPay-per-view. It doesn't exist there, I can tell you that. They wrestle like they have no regard for head trauma. But I'll say this, while I think that's completely irresponsible to themselves, but if you're on the level of CZW, where CZW is, I mean, we have DJ Hyde on here. It's one of the biggest independent promotions in America, but there is ladders above it. And if you want to make your name in CZW so you can make your name somewhere else, you have to take more risk. I mean, I've heard Jimmy Jacobs say this. I've seen other guys say it. And you can just tell from the way they wrestle in CZW when they wrestle elsewhere. I mean, when you're making your name in wrestling, you have to take a lot more risk. What do you think about that? Can you take more risks but also protect your head and still make a name for yourself in this business?
I think there is ways. I think if you're a good enough wrestler and you're a good enough just thinker, you can come up with different ways of making some good spots that don't involve possible brain injuries later down in your life. I mean, there's always an option. There's always ways of doing things. It's just a matter of sitting down and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. This stuff isn't going away, so it'll be interesting to see the future, I guess, of professional wrestling when, I guess, maybe everywhere, you know, maybe everywhere in America, they'll all wrestle like. Blast from the past. 30 years ago, Nick Botwinkle defended his AWA title in Memphis, Tennessee against Jerry the King Lawler. Do you see a day where regional titles could take again?
I would love to say yes, but in all honesty, I don't think we'll ever see regional titles be a thing anymore, not with technically how small the world is getting with technology this day and age, and especially with dominance of WWE and TNA trying to make a name for itself, ROH getting its television and pay-per-views. It just seems like it will always be national or worldwide level at this point.
As I did this question, I was thinking, like, no, I never, exactly, never would a regional title ever have impact again. But, you know, when you follow independent wrestling and you see a promotion in Florida, for example, and the recent shoot work angle or whatever for the NWA World title or whatever, you know, NWA World title might be a bad example. That title actually does get defended a ton of places, found out when we had Adam Pearce on the show. A title in Tennessee, for example, or can call it the world title, the world heavyweight title, whatever. It's kind of comical because, I mean, the guy is only defending it there. But if you can book like a Johnny Gargano or a Kevin Steen and have them defend their respective titles in your company, even though the likeliness of you having a title change, but somewhere in Memphis, I mean, Jerry Lawler had to buy the title essentially to get the AWA title to come to Memphis. The regional titles have almost kind of been replaced by the Ring of Honor title and the Dragon Gate USA title. I mean, I've seen Davey Richards defend the Ring of Honor title in numerous places. I believe Kevin Steen does as well. What do you think about that? That maybe some of the bigger indies could represent and replace maybe some of those regional titles?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think that's actually a good idea to have places like ROH or Dragon Gate become the modern-day equivalent of regional titles. Like you were saying, that just sounds like a logical progression of what independent wrestling should be doing.
Yeah, and I mean, the guys, you kind of get, you know, when you have Johnny Gargano or Kevin Steen or someone, you know, Davey Richards when he was the champion, when you have a guy like that come in and wrestle, you're supposed to top guy. I mean, it's only going to do good for your company and for that guy because, I mean, these guys are the champions of their companies. And it's only going to make your company better. It's only going to make your guy better. I think it's a good move all around. And it adds prestige to, I guess, whatever title is being defended.
Yeah, this is true.
And that will wrap it up for this week. Don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWcom, OWWcom, to get all the program updates and announcements. We will also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Until next time, this is Alex. And Mike, thank you very much for joining us today. Definitely check out some of Mike's material that he puts out. We hope you've enjoyed the program. And David and I will be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.
All right, all right. All right, all right, so here we are.